This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures from yesterday, Wednesday, off the Board of Trade had corn futures pushing into new contract highs. Soybean futures pushed higher again on Wednesday, and wheat was also higher across the board. First off, your corn futures again pushed higher into new contract highs on Wednesday, reaching 4.49¾ in March before closing at 4.47¼, up 3¾. Wednesday's catalyst for a higher price was likely a reduced chance for rain in both the Argentina and Brazil area. Soybean and corn moved into new highs on the overnight trade going into Wednesday morning once forecasters revised the near-term outlook. A drop in the U.S. dollar was also viewed supportive. Export sales at 25.8 million bushel was termed neutral. Sales are typically released on Thursday, but due to the Christmas holiday, on Friday, the report was moved up one day and was released yesterday, Wednesday. The market will close at noon today, Central Time, and reopen at 7 p.m. Sunday night. The big picture perspective continues to suggest strong demand with basis levels remaining firm. However, it is believed farmer selling is beginning to pick up, and with the futures market reaching 450, it's a doubt if there will be a lot of new buying unless continued concern over the South American issues remains the primary factor. As indicated, drier weather in the near-term forecast is supportive, but also a dock worker strike in Argentina is supportive as well. Soybean futures pushed higher again on Wednesday with double-digit gains in front months, with another round of new contract highs scored. Spreading of the bull market was again a feature between old and new crop. January closed 11.5 cents higher at 12.58¾, while new crop November next year finished 3 cents lower at 10.84¾. A change in the forecast for both Brazil and Argentina suggests drier weather. Sharp gains in wheat prices were also noted on Wednesday. A recovery in the stock market and continued weakness in the U.S. dollar, coupled with the rally in the energy market, also provided support. A lack of strong farmer selling due to the likelihood that farmers are not holding much inventory is also partly responsible for the current upswing in price. Breaking through resistance near the $12.50 area now opens the door for $13 and higher. Talk is beginning to surface of potentially $14 or $15 beans, but at this point it's too early for that. However, it should be acknowledged that if Brazil or Argentina or both have growing problems, one should not be surprised if the market rations inventory. This is done through higher price. And finally, your wheat futures had March Chicago up 12¾, 6.29¾, May up 11 at 6.27¾, March Kansas City up 8¾, 5.88, May up 8.5 at 5.91. Wheat traded its highest level since late October as Russian export targets are being lowered. Strong, dry winds are expected to hit the U.S. Central and Northern Plains hard and the winter wheat belt as well. In the western Midwest and parts of the Dakotas, blizzard conditions are expected for this Christmas Eve. All week, it's been planned for trading volume to be thin due to the holiday, as it usually gets right before Christmas. But most things in 2020, that just hasn't been the case. Add a little bit of bullish news to what we've already known, which is USDA currently estimates that hard red wheat ending stocks are at 348 million bushels for this marketing year. That's down from 506 million bushels a year ago and the lowest in the last 5 years. However, with the U.S. dollar hitting a two-year low, one would have expected to see better export numbers on Wednesday. The USDA showed only 14.5 million bushels of wheat sold last week. Total wheat exports are up 8% from last year, so that is promising. Dry weather concerns are still at play for Russia and the Ukraine. And again, January options expire on Christmas Eve for all grains. And the market again closes early at 12 noon today. So your 11:30 market report this morning will likely be the last one we hear today. That's from M&M Service Company. So again, recapping your grain futures on this Thursday morning from yesterday, Wednesday. March corn closed at 4.47¼, up 3¾. Soybeans for January at 11.5 at 12.58¾. New crop next year, November, 3 cents lower, 10.84¾. And wheat in Chicago had March up 12¾, 6.29¾. Kansas City up 8¾ at 5.88. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday, Wednesday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Wednesday's reported grain price and trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Wednesday afternoon of thoughts of positive export demand. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 3 cents, 417 to 449. Soybeans bids were 12 to 15 cents higher at 1209 to 1247. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 3 to 7 cents at 429 to 457. Soybeans bids were 12 to 14 cents higher at 1236 to 1265. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 4 to 6 cents at 437 to 480. Soybeans bids were 12 cents higher at 1246 to 1295. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 12 cents higher at 1259 to 1279. Basis is unchanged at option to 20 over the January. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 419.20 to 431.20 a ton, up $6.20 a ton, with basis steady at 200 to 10 over the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 4 cents higher at 447 to 472, with basis steady at option to 25 over the March. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted to produce the corn bids up 5 to 7 cents at 458. The 463 with basis up 1 to 3 at 11 over to 16 over the March. Soybeans ended up 12 to 16 cents at 1267 to 1269 with basis steady to up 4 at 8 over to 10 over the March. East St. Louis barge loading tome placer producer corn bids up 5 to 6 cents 484 to 487. These elevators raise their soybean prices 10 to 13 cents. Quotations at 1295 to 1296. Soft wheat closed up 13 cents. It's up 659 to 660. Milo ended the day 3 cents higher at 517 to 522. And contract bids producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 419 to 449. Soybeans at 1209 to 1248. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 427 to 455. Soybeans at 1243 to 1279. In the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 437 to 480. Soybeans at 1246 to 1295. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures report here from yesterday, Wednesday. Cattle markets finished moderately higher, and lean hog futures were moderately higher as well, in anticipation of the quarterly hog and pig report that was released on Wednesday. First off, your cattle markets again finished moderately higher, supported by improved cash cattle markets and technical buying. December cattle gained $1.60, 111.92. February cattle $1.27 higher, 114.72. The strength in the December futures was supported by a move higher in the cash market on Wednesday afternoon. Fed cattle exchange was back online this week and saw a $100.10 trade for some groups with delivery for next week. Soon after, bids and additional $110 trading occurred in the South. This was $2 over last week. Northern bids were also noted as softer, but the cash market seemed to firm up more into the afternoon. This optimistic and improved help pushed February cattle higher after testing and holding support on the 100-day moving average Wednesday morning. Prices in February are looking to break out through the next bullish wedge pattern that's been developing. The market will need to see follow-through buying today and into next week after Christmas. Wholesale carcass values were softer at midday on Wednesday, with choice carcasses losing $1.92, $208.75, selects dropping 90 cents at $198.69. Carcass values are trying to find some stability on this price range, and that demand will be key going into the end of the year. Weather was also supportive in the market, as strong winter storms with high winds are moving across the northern plains. And the feeder market followed suit to the live market towards the end of the day as Jan feeders were 37 cents higher, 140.27. March feeders 7 cents higher at 141.95. January feeders pushed back over the $140 level, but strong gains in the corn market limited the buying enthusiasm. Moving on to your hog futures, those futures finished moderately higher in anticipation for Wednesday's quarterly hog and pig report. February hogs gained $1.82, 67.85. April hogs finished $1.27 higher at $71.30. The market day started off with buying support led by the monthly cold storage report and export sales numbers for last week. New sales for 2020 were 16,300 metric ton, and 2021 sales are at 23,400 metric tons, supportive in the market. Export shipments at 40,500 metric tons. That's keeping good product movement in front of the strong slaughter pace. This strong export number was reflected in Tuesday's cold storage numbers. The USDA quarterly hog and pig report on Wednesday afternoon was in line with expectations. All hogs and pigs as of December 1 were 99% of last year. Hogs kept for breeding were at 97%. The breeding numbers were below expectation and could be supportive in the long-term picture. For the near term, however, hog weights are at 120 to 179 pounds, and 180 pounds and higher were slightly below expectation. This is still evident of a fairly large near-term supply and may limit short-term rallies. The fundamental picture stayed heavy in the near term. Cash market was weak with this shortened holiday week. The lean hog index traded 51 cents lower to 62.04. Carcass values are staying pressured. Carcass values were lower to $1.69. That sits at 66.47 now. Pork carcasses were trading 6 to 7 lower on the week. The pork product index was $5.39 lower to 71.88, reflecting the weak product market. So recapping your livestock futures from yesterday, Wednesday. Live cattle for December gained $1.60, $111.92. February cattle $1.27 higher, $114.72. February hogs $1.82 higher at $67.85. April hogs $1.27 higher at $71.30. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday, Wednesday's cash livestock report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon livestock report. Starting the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded 88 cents lower, in a range of $44 to $52 with a weighted average carcass price of $50.44. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were steady with moderate to good demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded $20 to $25, 4 to 5 weighted $24 to $28, 5 to 6 weighted $27 to $32, in over 600 pounds, $30 to $34. On the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels of gilts country buying points were weak, with moderate demand for moderate offerings range from $28 to $34. Packer receipts for barrels of gilts totaled 25,261. In the direct cattle trade, National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live bases trade at 105 to 110, and on address basis at 168 to 172. Choice heifers and live bases trade at 105 to 110, and on a dress basis at 168 to 172. From the National Daily Pork Plant Port, trading for retail and processing cuts was stoush with 281 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $69.34, which is $1.18 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading lower. Choice carcass 207.54, which is $3.13 lower, while select carcass 197.93, which is $1.66 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 116,000 compared to 120,000 last week and zero for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 451,000 compared to 483,000 last week and zero for 1 year ago. That includes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you this morning by Linco Precision and by the McAdams Millwright Service. And it's time now for part two of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you this morning by Stein Seed, by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now on Ag News for this Christmas Eve Thursday morning. Agriculture and other sectors and individuals may now have to wait for longer virus relief after President Trump threatened to veto a massive stimulus and government funding package. Trump upended expectations promoted by his aides that he would sign the $900 billion relief bill packaged with a $1.4 trillion budget bill and a tax extender and energy bill.
I am asking Congress to amend this bill and increase the ridiculously low $600 to $2,000 or $4,000 for a couple.
And he wants Congress to get rid of the wasteful spending.
Or else the next administration will have to deliver a COVID relief package, and maybe that administration will be me, and we will get it done.
Senate Finance Chairman Chuck Grassley told this to farm reporters.
I hope he doesn't veto it. If he does veto it, then I'm going to have to go back to Washington much earlier than I anticipated because I wasn't hoping to go back until New Year's Day.
The votes are there to override the president, though he could run out the 10-day business day clock on this Congress, not vetoing or acting until the new Congress comes in January 3rd. But Grassley sees more damage to agriculture.
Obviously, we wouldn't have that $13 billion and the biofuels help. We do have the higher prices right now from the marketplace. So the fact that the $13 billion might not be there will obviously hurt the farmers that would have benefited from it.
Grassley also says he hopes to see Trump sign the bill, but he's already been notified to be ready to go back into session next week for a possible veto override vote. In other ag news, as relates to the stimulus bill, broadband access continues to be a major challenge in rural America. Tie that in with the outage of AT&T around Montgomery and other counties earlier this week. And also, personally, home phone and internet were also down, so connectivity completely was down for me on Monday. So when you tie in the $900 billion year-ending aid package passed through Congress, there is money available to spend on increasing broadband in rural area. Wisconsin Democrat Representative Ron Kind says funding like this continues to be piecemeal efforts to solve a serious problem.
There are a variety of grant programs that are already available. There are already broadband programs that we're trying to enhance right now, but I still think it falls short of what we need. And that's a comprehensive, broad-based broadband expansion program that leaves no one behind, regardless of where they happen to be living. We had that in the Moving America Forward Act that passed the House of Representatives just this summer. We had about $80 billion dedicated to close the last mile and to make sure that we had complete 100% coverage throughout America.
Kind voted in support of the year-ending aid package. He's optimistic that Congress may be able to make more progress on broadband access in the next session.
I'm hopeful in the new Congress, with the new administration coming in, that we put infrastructure investment as a high priority, and part of that also entails broadband infrastructure deployment. That's my goal, at least, and we need to do that, or we're going to be leaving more people behind, especially our rural communities, that won't be in a position to compete in this 21st century economy.
He's looking at how the money available in the current aid package will be beneficial to rural America.
With a substantial funding for broadband expansion, over $7 billion, including a large chunk of that for rural Wisconsin and rural America. The coronavirus has certainly highlighted the digital divide like never before and the economic and education inequities that flow from it. And for us to make telehealth work well, we need broadband in rural areas too. So this I view as a down payment for broadband expansion, which is important for our country to maintain our competitiveness on a global scale.
Again, that's Wisconsin Representative Ron Kind. The December 22nd date was the third anniversary of President Trump signing the Tax Cut and Job Act. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley, as we heard from earlier this morning, is asking President-elect Biden to commit to making permanent many of those tax provisions that help create the strongest economy in generations and are helping to rebuild the economy while Americans get back to work after COVID-19. President-elect Biden ran on rebuilding the nation's economy that's been devastated by COVID-19, he said. Families, small businesses, and the American economy can't recover, rehire, or grow to the fullest potential with higher taxes on the horizon. But it's now Biden's responsibility to make sure it doesn't happen on his watch. Grassley wants to see the lower, more affordable temporary tax rates become permanent in 2021. He says Congress just made permanent several temporary tax policies and provided certainty for businesses to grow and hire. Many of its temporary provisions expire during the next administration, Grassley added. Higher taxes would only make things worse. U.S. businesses of all sizes, including farms, should know they won't face a historic tax hike, so they'll have the certainty they need to rehire and reinvest in their workforce. Like a lot of other ag events, the Commodity Classic will be going on virtual next year. Due to restrictions brought on by COVID-19, America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused ag and educational experience will be coming right to farms across the country in a digital format for March 2nd through March 5th. Commodity Classic organizers say, while we're all disappointed that we won't be together in San Antonio this year, the 2021 special edition will continue to provide the education and experiences you've come to expect from the Commodity Classic. Those events include educational sessions, the top thought leaders in agriculture, new technology and innovation, online networking opportunity with fellow farmers, and much more. Interested people can keep up with updates regarding registration, the schedules, and speakers and educational sessions by signing up for email updates at commodityclassic.com. The Commodity Classic, established back in 1996, is a joint presentation of the American Soybean Association, the National Corn Growers Association, National Sorghum Growers, and the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. The 2022 edition will move to New Orleans, Louisiana, March 10th through 12th. Moving along now and taking a look at state ag news. This year was a time to learn new ways to do old things, according to Rachel Peabody with the Illinois Soybean Association. She says the organization learned to adapt, and it was still able to accommodate soybean producers across Illinois.
We still had a lot of great producer touch points. We still had some great collaboration with our fellow ag groups in the state. And we really got a lot of good wins for soybean producers going and happening. Made us a really strong team. It made us a really flexible team. And I know I'm really proud of how everybody, including our farmer audience that we serve, I'm really proud of how everybody kind of banded together this year and made the best of the situation for sure.
One example was meeting with soybean buyers across the globe, but doing so by Zoom. According to USDA, the Illinois soybean yield this past year is projected at 58 bushels an acre. State legislative priorities have been outlined by the Illinois Farm Bureau. Mark Gebhartz with the Farm Bureau has this rundown.
We want to maintain our tax policy provisions that currently exist for agriculture, and we want to make sure that we can maintain to whatever level we can, recognizing that just yesterday the governor announced over $711 million worth of cuts to the state budget that he wants to be considered to try and keep adequate funding for the Department of Agriculture. Of course, balanced process for siting livestock farms and operating them through the LMFA, the Livestock Management Facilities Act, another major priority. And a lot of work in the energy area with renewable energy. I think not only in the biofuels markets and biodiesel, but just energy in general, whether that's wind, solar, et cetera, I think you're going to see an awful lot of attention in those areas. So those are just a few of the highlights.
The fall veto session was canceled, and Governor Pritzker has declined to push for a special session at this time, so it's unclear when the Illinois General Assembly will be reconvening again. And every year presents a different weather story here in Illinois, and 2020 has been no different. Eric Snodgrass is a meteorologist for Nutrien Ag Solutions up in Champaign.
That's right. You know, if we call 2019 the year of the flash flood, 2020 was the year of the flash drought. So if you get in the northern half of the state, we had these time periods in July, but really in August, and then again around harvest, where we dried out and just didn't get a drop of rain for a long time. Thankfully, our yield survived through it, but things got pretty dry. And if you remember back in October, we had a lot of field fires after harvest. And so this was the year where we flipped the script on 2019 and started talking more about the lack of rainfall than the abundance of it. You know what? I would love it if 2021 came in middle of the road.
Again, that's Eric Snodgrass. And finally, in state ag news for you Thursday, with Christmas tomorrow, there's tips now for keeping your Christmas tree fresh throughout the holiday. And depending on when you put your tree up, it may still be in good shape or starting to dry out. U of I Extension educator Katie Parker says what your tree needs most is water.
So it's very important that you water your tree every day. At least check it. If there is water still in the reservoir, there's not a need to water it again. but you do want to make sure that your tree has water every day. My sister literally just asked me about this past weekend. She said she read an article about feeding her Christmas tree Sprite, and I said, no, no way. You don't need to add any additives, no bleach, nothing else. Fresh water is the best way to water your tree.
Parker says if your tree is really drying out, you can just recut the stump, although that's probably not practical if it's full of lights and ornaments. She says it's also a good idea to keep your tree away from a heat source like a vent and direct sunlight. Additives are also, again, not necessary. And that'll conclude your Ag News here for a Thursday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Thursday morning, Christmas Eve, December 24th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.